Órale, bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB podcast. I'm Jorge Martin and gracias everybody for joining us. So today we are going back east, you know, the land of crab cakes, of Edgar Allan Poe, and it's also the home of my favorite baseball stadium outside of Los Angeles. The great state of Maryland is home to the Baltimore Ravens and Todd Karpovich. He covers them for SI and Raven Country. He also covers the Orioles, so he's going to be doing double duty pretty soon, so I don't know when he's going to sleep, but let's welcome in Todd. Todd, bienvenidos. Thank you again for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No, this is awesome. How are you feeling? You know, we're right on the cusp of training camp starting. I mean, I know I saw that Lamar Jackson reported with the rookies. How's kind of like feeling in such a rabid football town as Baltimore right now?
Well, the Ravens training camp sold out in like 12 minutes. And wow. they have a practice at the stadium on Saturday. 37,000 people sold out in less than 24 hours. So there's a lot of hype surrounding the Ravens. There's a lot of expectations this year. It's people are banging the Super Bowl drum for Baltimore. Lamar Jackson entering his fourth year. They got they have a solid veteran roster with some youth in there. Expectations are high for the Ravens. The goal now is, for the Kansas City Chiefs and win the AFC.
So 37,000 tickets sold in 20 minutes in less than 24 hours, right? That's like a Springsteen concert. So
yeah,
that's
training camp sold out too. All 1,000 tickets each day.
Amazing. Well, I feel like there's one guy who's really brought up the excitement level, and he is one of the darlings of fantasy football, Lamar Jackson. You know, it's kind of crazy. You know, second year in a row, 1,000 yards rushing, only player in NFL history to do that. You've pointed that out multiple times on RavenCountry.com. It's crazy to think that last year, people were, I think the expectations were that he was going to take a big step forward in the passing game. And it was kind of in neutral until kind of like a really hot finish at the end, which I'm very proud to say that predicted he was in fantasy scoring. He was quarterback 2 from week 13 on. He's such a unique weapon. And how do you see the balancing act between him continuing to be such a focal point in the running game, but also there's been an investment in the receivers, and we'll get into that, but how do you kind of see him evolving as a passer?
Yeah, the Ravens, the pass blocking struggled last year. Like, Lamar Jackson didn't have a whole lot of time to throw. And the receivers were sort of uneven. They had a lot of drops. They didn't run their routes all the way. They didn't get open. And the Ravens, they led the NFL in rushing for the second straight year. This year, they boosted the offensive line. They were much better at pass blocking. Villanueva and Zeitler, they brought in from Ben Cleveland. They drafted. The offensive lines will be huge maulers. They brought in Sammy Watkins. They drafted Rashad Bateman. They have 8 guys competing for 6 wide receiver spots. They brought in T. Martin, another guy who's going to help, another coach who's going to help the pass game. So you're going to see more balance with the Ravens this year. I think Marquise Brown during his third year is going to take a next step in his development. He looks spectacular during OTAs. He's in shape. He's running past people. He's fully healthy. But again, the Ravens are a running football team. If they're going to run for 200 yards a game, they're going to run. You'll see more balance. I think Lamar Jackson's going to hit on more deep passes downfield. He's got 2 good tight ends, Mark Andrews and Nick Boyle. And he's got the intermediate stuff. I think you'll see more sweeps, more creative. You'll see more balance. But don't the Ravens are a running football team. They're going to run first. They're going to try to control the clock and pound teams. But again, you'll see. The Ravens won't be the 32nd ranked passing game this year.
All right, now, and Lamar has been, he's run as many as 176 times. Last year, I believe it was 159 times. He missed the game with COVID, the 17th game. Are we looking at another, like 10 rushes a game with him when it comes down to it? Because that makes him such, people call him such a cheat code in fantasy football. An average of about 10 rushing attempts a game. Does that sound kind of about right?
Yeah, I think Lamar only has about, you know, maybe three or four plays called for him to run the ball. The rest is spontaneous. He runs out of pocket. He runs. So that's what makes him so dangerous. You never know what he's going to do with the ball. Yeah, I think Lamar, eight, nine carries a game, you know, just from scrambling out of pocket, you know, diving for a first down, you know, seeing an opening. If he sees an opening in green in front of him, he's going to take it. Yeah, Lamar could be close to 1,000 yards running again. You know, who knows? He's a dynamic player. You know, he's got a he's playing for a contract, sort of. You know, he's going to get his money, but he's 2 years removed from signing a big deal. So, yeah, Lamar will be – I expect Lamar to take the next step in his development in year four.
You know, you mentioned that they're not going to be last in passing attempts. You know, if you were to estimate, you know, 2, 3, 5 more passes a game, pass plays called – a game, do you think that's a possibility, especially considering the improvement on the offensive line?
Yeah, I think Lamar Jackson, 25 pass attempts a game is a good number for him. It's a good number for the Ravens because, you know, they don't want to start chucking the ball outfield. They get in trouble. You know, even going back to Joe Flacco days, when Joe Flacco attempted 40 passes, the Ravens were in big trouble. They don't want Lamar Jackson throwing the ball 35, 40 times a game. That's a recipe for failure. So 25 pass attempts, you know, be up there around 280 yards, it has the tight ends to throw inside the red zone. You know, avoid the turnovers. That's the key for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, avoid the turnovers. Yeah, so I think 5 more passes would be fair. I think around 25 per game, I think, would be a good number for Lamar Jackson.
Oh, geez. The 25 passes, 10 and 10 rushing attempts, I think that sounds golden. And yeah. Make a lot of people very happy with this kind of team. Well, let's get into the running game. It's such a not quite the quagmire that it was last year. You lost Mark Ingram. You still have J.K. Dobbins. You still have Gus Edwards in there. They were almost even in the amount of carries that they were last year. J.K. Dobbins had a few more passing targets coming his way. Is it still kind of looking like a 50-50 split? I mean, they're obviously very different runners, but a 50-50 split, or, I mean, there has been some talk about, or maybe some wishful thinking that J.K. Dobbins could take a little bit more of a step forward, kind of be a little more the lead back and Gus Edwards a little bit more the relief pitcher.
I think that's going to be the case. J.K. Dobbins is going to get the majority of the carries, because of the kind of runner he is. He can get outside, he can run inside, and catch the ball. But Gus Edwards is a downhill runner. You know, we're going to see Gus Edwards get the ball as the season goes on, the weather gets colder. And, you know, Gus Edwards is a much more punishing runner. And when they start wearing teams down, we get late in the season, you're going to see Gus Edwards start to really, really start get the carries. I see Jake here. Gus Edwards, you know, third back, spelling J.K., and then Gus Edwards really getting more carries as the year goes on. Justice Hill, another guy who might get some more carries this year. He moves into that third slot. We'll see. He hasn't done much in the running game. He's been a good player on special teams. But J.K. Dobbins will be the man this year.
How about you mentioned a little bit about him getting some work in the passing game? He got a little work in college, but what kind of – I mean, we're looking at, like, last year he averaged about 1.5 targets a game. Could that be something that comes up to like 3 or 4 targets a game this year? Is that a possibility, or is that maybe just asking a little too much, considering that, you know, Jackson is a running quarterback and a lot of times running quarterbacks don't throw to their running backs as much?
No, most definitely. John Harbaugh said the priority is to have J.K. Dobbins catch the ball more out of the backfield. Now, he struggled with drops last year. You know, he struggled catching the ball last year. He had that big drop in the game, in the playoff game against Buffalo, that cost the Ravens a first down and extra yards behind the yak yards after that. John Harbaugh has emphasized that J.K. Dobbins is going to catch the ball more out of the backfield, and J.K. Dobbins has worked on catching the ball, you know, catching the ball first and then running. So, yeah, I think 3 targets will be a good number for J.K. Dobbins this year at the Ravens, especially the way he can run and get outside, and you have Lamar pitching it to him.
Yeah, think about that. And Lamar, isn't it one of the underrated getting back to Lamar real quick, isn't it one of his underrated traits that he's a pretty accurate passer and doesn't throw that many interceptions?
Yeah, he is. He's pretty accurate. You know, he gets in trouble when he throws outside the numbers a little bit. His accuracy goes down, but he's strong in the middle of the field. He's good in the intermediate passes, and he'll hit one every now and then long term. So the goal this year is for Jackson to become more accurate outside the numbers and to hit more passes downfield. You know, he's very good at the intermediate and the screens and middle of the field. So that's what teams have done. They try to take away the middle of the field and make Lamar Jackson throw outside. And if Lamar Jackson can throw outside, the offense would be very, very good.
Oh, that could be scary. Well, let's talk about outside, the receivers. Got Marquise Brown. You mentioned, you touched on the fact that he looked great in OTAs. Rashad Bateman, one of the most hyped up receivers coming out of this class. A lot of people were, some people in the fantasy community were a little bit disappointed because they're thinking that the volume isn't going to be there. But again, we could get into that. Sammy Watkins also, you know, some of the reports came out that he was looking good in minicamp. How can you kind of assess this pat, you know, this receiver group, and could it be a group that, you know, that gets enough volume for at least one, maybe two, to be viable on a week to week basis?
That's the thing. Ravens have guys who can catch the ball, so targets could be an issue. You know, they're spreading the ball out. Marquise Brown wants 100 targets. I don't know if he'll get that. You know, we'll see. See, Watkins got to stay healthy. Yeah, he doesn't have a great track record being on the field. Rashad Bateman was the most impressive receiver during OTAs as far as his route running and catching the football. He's a real, real smooth runner and has good hands. So he's also got to avoid the rookie injury bug. Devin Duvernay, another guy who got limited action last year as a rookie, could see a bigger role this year. He was targeted a lot in OTAs for the simple fact that I think the Ravens want to see what he can do. And then you have, you know, James Prochet, another guy, could be a bubble player. We'll see. And then, of course, they drafted Tylan Wallace from Oklahoma State, who's another guy who flashed at training camp. He's a hard-nosed player. He's been compared to Steve Smith, the way he catches the ball and gets downfield. So the Ravens have multiple weapons, wide receiver. The question is where the targets go. You know, it'll be how the game sort of sets up for them. But the Marquise Brown is a deep downfield threat, so he'll get a chance to make plays downfield.
So, well, I guess with the talent there, I mean, I'm a big Marquise Brown fan. He went to college, well, junior college out here before he transferred to Oklahoma. Yeah. Out here in Southern California, so yeah. He worked at a theme park, so that my kids have a pass to. So love to see that. Let's go to the tight ends. You talked about the middle of the field. One of the best in the game is Mark Andrews, and you know, he had kind of an uneven season. Obviously, he's got the diabetes that was a bit of a concern because he got COVID during the season last year, but still had a decent season. He's still one of like the top five or six tight ends from a fantasy perspective. Do you still see him being one of the focal points of the passing game?
Yeah, him and Lamar Jackson has a comfort zone with Andrews, especially when he has to check down when he gets out of his reads. So Mark Andrews is going to have a huge year. He's a free agent next year. So he's a guy playing for a contract. Nick Bull is a good blocker, also can catch the football. He's coming off a knee injury. Pat Ricard, he's a fullback, tight end sort of hybrid. He'll get some action. Now, that's like Josh Oliver from the Jaguars, who the Ravens traded for a conditional pick. Could be the third tight end there. But I see Mark Andrews getting a lot of targets again this year, making a lot of plays.
How about in the red zone? You still see him being one of the top focal points of the in the red zone?
Yeah, he'll be the big target inside the red zone for Lamar, just because his ability to get open, to put the get off coverage, and his hands, he has good hands for a guy his size.
Yeah, he's been somebody to target kind of like in those kind of like the fifth, sixth rounds in fantasy drafts, and I think he's kind of like that one of the, after you get the big three tight ends with, you know, Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, and George Kittle, he's like in that next group and he's such a, you know, 17 touchdowns in the last 2 years. He's a beast. You mentioned the upgrade in the offensive line, and obviously, you know, it's all kind of almost strange to say, you know, that they had an upgrade when, you know, one of the things they the Ravens traded away Orlando Brown, a Pro Bowl player. You got Ronnie Stanley, who's coming back from the ankle injury, which he's still kind of working back. I believe he's on the PUP list, correct?
Yes.
He's starting your trading camp. But when this group is together, I'm a big offensive line guy. I think they're as unsung heroes when it comes to fantasy football as there is. Is this more of a run offensive line, or is this going to be kind of like an offensive line that could really be great both in the run and the pass game?
Both. I mean, the Ravens, Dan DaCosta had said part of the issues were in the passing game was because the offensive line couldn't pass block. So he went out and boosted the offensive line. You got Ronnie Stanley, who's 6'6", 315. You got Ben Cleveland, if he starts, at 6'6", 357. Bradley Bozeman moving to center, huge deal for the Ravens. Really solidified the center position. Position he played at Alabama. He became a left guard in the pros. He'll move to center, which will settle that position, which the Ravens had trouble at the center position the last 2 years with Matt Skura and McCarty. Zeidler, 6'4", 315. Villanueva, 6'9", 320. So you're talking about big, big mauling guys who are going to be real attack teams. And they're veteran guys, too. We've got a lot of veterans on that team who are going to attack defenders. They're going to be able to pull. So they'll be good at run blocking, and I think they'll be solid at pass blocking. The key is staying away from injuries. But, you know, it's a 17-game season this year. So it's going to be more pressure on the bodies, a little more physicality to the players. So that's going to be the key. The health is going to be a key on the offensive line. But the Ravens do have some depth. They got some backups. They got Tyree Phillips, the guy they drafted last year, started some games last year, dealt with some injuries. And Ben Powers, another guy who I'm hearing the Cowboys are interested in acquiring, but the Ravens will trade him because they need that depth. So the offensive line will be a huge part of this offense.
You mentioned the 17th game. I mean, players seem to be really gearing up. I mean, are the teams kind of looking at I've heard some teams are kind of thinking about not quite resting players, but maybe not pushing players in certain games, maybe getting guys off their feet in blowouts. Is that kind of like the feeling you're getting with that, you know, as teams are approaching the 17th game?
That's definitely key. The Ravens would love to get up by 3 or 4 touchdowns. And that's some of their starters. I mean, they have Clayes Campbell, Derek Wolf, and Brandon Williams on the defensive line are all over 30 years old. You know, the secondary, you know, they don't have much depth at safety. The Ravens didn't get out far. If they can get out ahead of teams and blow teams out, they'll rest their starters. But again, the Ravens have a tough schedule. So I don't see a whole lot of room for where they'll be able to do that. The key is going to be healthy. The healthiest team usually wins. It's going to be there at the end of the year.
And that's the thing, you know, the AFC North is such a crucible. I mean, when you look at those teams, I mean, people are expecting Pittsburgh to take a step backward. You know, they had offensive line issues last year. I mean, you've seen them year to year. I don't think you expect them to take a step backward, but the Browns took a big step forward last year. And I think the Bengals, how do you see how difficult this division is?
Well, the Steelers are going to, I mean, the way it's stacking out, they're going to try to win with defense. And that defense is going to be very, very good, especially their pass rush is going to be fierce with Watt. They just signed Justin Houston. You know, Big Ben's looking for a bounce back here. We'll see what he can do. Cleveland probably has the most talented roster in the division. However, can Baker Mayfield, you know, can he overcome some of his challenges? You know, the difference between the Ravens and the Browns is Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield. Jackson's a bigger playmaker. If Mayfield, if they get the next step, the Browns are going to push for division title. And the Bengals, sort of the wild card. Joe Burrow got hurt last year. We don't know what he can do after a full season. I think they'll be better. I think there's at least two playoff teams in the AFC North. I think maybe a third with the Steelers. If they don't turn the ball over and they play defense the way they're supposed to, they'll be a tough team. And the Steelers and the Ravens, you know, throw the records out the window. They always the rivalry game, and it's a bloodbath, and that's the way it's going to be.
Those games, I don't watch when it's Steelers Ravens, especially when the weather's cold. Even no matter what fantasy players I have in there, I just watch that game as a football fan, kind of like as a pit. You know, when you enjoy a good pitcher's duel in baseball, it's just kind of like you enjoy the hits, you enjoy, you know, the lack of offense, for lack of a better term.
Now, they used to hate each other, the Ravens. You know, Ray Lewis got the bus and went to fight, and Plaxico Burress, and they're stepping on guys' chests. They had some really animosity. Now there's a mutual respect there. They're still great games, but they play hard against each other. You know, I think the Browns and the Steelers now have the animosity between the teams in the division. The Ravens Steelers, it's always must see it. And then the Browns are starting to get a really good rivalry with the Ravens. I mean, last year's game in Cleveland was the best game of the year when Lamar came out of the locker room with cramps and led the Ravens to a victory. It was unbelievable. Prime time game. It was uncanny. So we'll probably see more of this. There's more of those types of games this year.
So they'll really empty the tank in those games, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to find a funny little term there. Thank you. Thank you for the laughter. It's early out here in California, but it's good to laugh any time of the day. One last football question. You know, I always like to also ask about the defense. I mean, I believe one of your articles had that the secondary is ranked one of the top ones in the NFL. The Ravens are so well known for defense as much as anything. Is this a team that not just from a fantasy standpoint, but maybe a team to kind of worry about when you have players playing against the Ravens on both levels, both against the run and the pass?
Yeah, the Ravens are going to get their turnovers this year. I think they'll be top of the NFL as far as forcing turnovers and getting turnovers because the secondary is so talented. The pass rush now, that's problematic. They lost Matt Judon and Ngakoue to free agency and then replacing with veteran players. You know, they drafted two guys, Owe and Dalen Hayes from Notre Dame, who don't have proven track records as pass rushers. They always probably going to start. Now Chandler Jones is out there once he gets traded, I hear, from Arizona. And, we'll see. Justin Houston's still available. So we'll see what the Ravens pull a trigger on a pass rusher. But the Ravens, they say quarterbacks sure get rid of the ball quicker against them. They've done the analytics because they blitz. Dal Martindale, the defensive coordinator, likes to blitz from everywhere. He'll blitz a secondary, defensive line, linebackers. So we'll see. The Ravens defense will be a top 10 defense again, one way or another, I'm sure.
Oh, awesome. Awesome, Todd. This has been great. I can't believe how much information we've gotten in a little more than 20 minutes. But there's one bit of fun information that I like to close out these interviews with is, this is a Latino focused podcast. And my heritage goes back to Mexico. And so Mexican food is a big staple. I know you're on the East Coast, but hopefully, and you're in the land of seafood. Can you get good tacos in Baltimore? And what are some of your favorite types of taco meats?
We have great Mexican food out here in Baltimore. Awesome. We got a lot of immigrants, a lot of food trucks, stuff like that. And I tell you, every Wednesday, fish tacos for me. Mahi mahi fish tacos. Get it at my father-in-law's father-in-law belongs to a club down the street from us. Mahi mahi tacos, the best. Eat them every Wednesday. It's great. And then we get burritos and there's another great place up not far from us called Pappy's, which is a good Mexican place. So yeah, we do Mexican a lot of Mexican food here.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. And you know what? You mentioned the food trucks. Especially anywhere I go, I feel like some of the best tacos I get are at the food trucks, especially like the carne asada. I don't know what it is. They make it better on those.
Yeah. Like I think all the ingredients are fresh and, they're training to please. And food trucks are fun. It's a good time going out to these food trucks.
Oh man, and it's beautiful with the summer. Things are opening up. I mean, gosh, this is awesome. I've been to Baltimore a couple times, and beautiful city. I've gotten to see a ball game at right there at Camden Yards. I wasn't kidding. It's one of my absolute favorites. Just a beautiful ballpark. Oh god,
swept the Washington Nationals.
Oh God, right there in the backyard. How awesome. Muy bien, muy bien. Well, things are looking up. I know. I remember. Well, I growing up in the Earl Weaver days and the, later, Cal Ripken Sr. and Cal Ripken Jr. really taking over the shortstop position. There's something great about baseball when the Orioles are good again. So
they'll be good again. You got to give them some time. They're rebuilding, but they're on the right track. Their minor league system's top five. Among all MLB teams, they got some really good players coming up.
Yeah, and you mentioned that catcher coming up, Adley Rushman.
Number one prospect in baseball. Well, number two prospect all baseball. Yeah.
Well, if he becomes another Buster Posey type, I mean, we might see black and orange a different catcher, you know, leading a team in those colors. So
not black and orange, not the Giants.
Oh my goodness. Well, Todd, you know, as I like to say in Spanish, es un gran placer. This was such a great time. I really appreciate your time in doing this. If you could give our familia community just where they could find your work.
SI.com/Ravens and at Todd Karpovich on Twitter. Thank you. Gracias.
Oh, gracias, mi amigo. And everybody, familia, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure Independent Podcast gets out to the familia community. Also, thank you to YouTube for putting our video faces on in front of you. So please subscribe there at YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find original content, including a write-up on this article, on familiaffb.com. You can find me at JorgeMartin17. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Familia FFB, and don't forget our Familia FFB Facebook page, everybody. Todd, otra vez, gracias. Everybody, familia, thank you so much. Remember, todos somos familia.